Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where we're having a beautiful summer day. We're having heat. It's so hot. It's unseasonably hot. It's not usually this hot. It's 95 degrees in the daytime. Actually, in my backyard, I'm looking at the thermometer. I can see it from my desk. It's 89 degrees, but in other places where there aren't so many trees, you can imagine if it's 89 degrees here under my oak trees, it's hot out there where there's no trees. Hot, hot, hot. And it's 85 degrees at night. We all sleep with air conditioning, but you know, I want to tell you, I have this beautiful plant, this beautiful flower sitting on my desk. I have these two bushes that I put in my front yard called sweet almond bushes. And they have these beautiful white fronds of little tiny flowers, and they smell like sweet almonds. And there was one that was just growing right over the pathway that you have to push it back in order to walk to the front door. So I cut it off with all its flowers and brought it inside. And it's just been sitting here for 4 or 5 days, giving me this lovely aroma of sweet almonds. And so that's what I'm smelling today as I'm talking to you. And I had a great week last week. I took the whole entire week off because it was my birthday. And I had a lot of rest and relaxation and did a little work. And now I'm back all refreshed and rejuvenated and revived. So today we're going to talk about something we've never talked about before, which is violet biophotonic glass. And what this glass does is it actually helps keep food and herbs and water and any organic thing that you put in it fresher and lasts longer. So we're going to talk to the co-founder of Vita Salva Glassworks. Her name is Maria Jindra. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for everything you do for all of us and the planet. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. I have one of Maria. She sent me one of her beautiful violet bottles, and I just love it. I fill it with water, and I put it on my desk. And in the morning, the sun shines on it to activate it. We're going to talk about all this, but then I drink the water, and it feels different. It feels totally different. So before we get into all those details, tell us how you came to be doing this.
Well, my husband and I have been cattle ranchers and farmers, and I've been an x-ray tech, and we finally retired from all of that after 30 years, and we decided that we needed to do something different and keep ourselves busy. And Jeff said, you know, I've always wanted to learn how to sand etch on glass. And I said, well, that sounds like fun, but I think it needs to be some really unique glass. So Jeff looked around and taught himself sand etching, and I looked for glass, and synchronistically, I came across maroon violet biophotonic glass, and I thought, wow, that is beautiful glass. And then I started reading more about the properties of biophotonic glass and was fascinated by what I found. Bio means life, and photon means light. I learned that all living cells emit light, and the research had shown that the quality of bioenergy of food stored in violet glass is significantly higher than any of their counterparts kept in classical containers, such as glass or plastic. This special engineered glass demonstrated that an optimal protection of bioinformation can be obtained in long-term storage. And so I thought, wow. So we can be creative. We can sell this to people who want to keep organic substances and high-end cosmetics and something that's going to preserve the qualities of the product they're putting in there. So I was kind of excited. So was Jeff.
I'm excited, too. So do you actually make this glass, or do you buy the bottles made someplace else?
Okay, well, maroon glass was founded about 20 years ago. It was conceived in Switzerland. And they originally constructed this glass for a very superior spirulina product in Cyprus. Huh. And so that's how it got started. A gentleman by the name of Yves Clausehar researched about 14 years on getting all the right ingredients to make this particular glass. Since it was conceived in Switzerland, it's now moved over to the Netherlands, but they make the actual glass in Germany and Czechoslovakia. So it comes from Europe, and it's amazing.
So you buy the pieces already made?
That is correct.
And then you send them. So you're not a glass, you're not making glass yourself?
No, no.
Oh, totally, that's totally fine. I just wondered if you were making it like a glass blower.
No, that would be even more work. No, and their technology is, it's patented. I guess the Egyptians used to store their goods in gold and violet glass. So with that and other scientists and researchers in the field, especially the science of biophotonics, they found that storing things in violet glass that allows certain types of light and spectral ranges through is the best preservation method you can use.
So do you know anything about what goes into the glass?
No, because it's proprietary.
Yeah. We just know. It's fascinating to me that I get a lot of emails from a lot of people about different subjects and questions that they have. And I think that there's a impression that colored glass may have toxic color things in it. And so it's interesting to me to find that here's a colored glass that actually has beneficial properties.
Exactly. Like some glass may contain, what, trace amounts of lead? I know that in the ancient times, they might have had some toxic materials. But I know that the amount of research that they've done at Marone and the scientists that have worked on this, I think that's the last thing they'd want to do is have any toxic chemicals.
Well, I would think so, because they're so conscious of the life-enhancing properties. And I think that generally, I've done a lot of research on glass, and generally there are no toxic substances in the glass. But there are sometimes, like with lead crystal, they
right.
put lead in that. But those are very clearly labeled lead crystal because it's a selling point. And with California's Proposition 65, it's required by law that those have warning labels on them that say that this glass contains lead. So I think that when people are using just ordinary glass or glass like yours that isn't labeled, that wouldn't necessarily have toxic things in it. The only other thing that I've heard about toxic things in terms of glass is when you buy those glasses that have pictures painted on the side. And it's obviously a painted-on design and not an etched design or part of the glass, and that those often have lead in them.
Very good idea. Very good.
Yeah.
I know this glass is very thick, Deborah.
Yeah,
so
it is.
When we sand etch, it can be purchased painted or not, but we do paint it, and it is beautiful, but it's a very thick glass. You've probably noted that with your bottle.
I did. It's very heavy, actually.
Yeah.
And so when you paint yours, is there anything special about your paint?
It's not so much special. It's just that when it is in contact with the bottle, the dark violet glass with bright colors, it's just striking. But the glass is so thick and we don't etch super deep. We barely etch the top of it. But the glass is very, very thick.
Yeah, I can see that in mine. And, you know, I'll just say that the bottle that they sent to me is etched and painted, and there's absolutely no odor to this paint, no problem with it, unless there's some particles in it that I can't perceive. But I don't see a problem with it at all.
Right, and if people are concerned, they would just say, don't etch it. I just want the bottle naked.
A naked bottle, I like that.
Yeah.
We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Maria Jindra. She's co-founder of Vita Salva Glassworks, and we're talking about violet glass and its unique properties. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad. And what are we doing today? I couldn't think for a second. Okay. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and my guest today is Maria Jindra. She's the co-founder of Vita Salva Glassware. Must have been a passing toxic chemical from the outside, and of course, none in my house. No. You know, last week I had my 60th birthday, and I've been doing this since I was 24, and I was 60 last week. So you have to forgive me for occasional senior moments. That's just how it goes. Anyway, Maria, on your website, let me give you your website is violetglassjars.com.
Right.
And on your website, you have this great page that talks about the biophotonic science. And tell us about the tests that were done that you have on that page.
Oh, about the chives and the tomatoes?
Yeah.
They stored a little cherry tomato, one in a clear glass and one in the violet glass for 7 months. And they exposed it occasionally to direct sunlight, but most of the time it was sitting where ambient light came into the room. And they noted that after 7 months, the cherry tomato in the clear glass was moldy, and the cherry tomato stored in the biophotonic glass did not have mold on it and was not greatly dehydrated. So that proves the science of biophotonics, that the light coming through the glass, it only allows violet light in the visible light spectrum, like in a rainbow. It allows in a small amount of UVA and far infrared light. And these three forms of light that come through not only preserve the bioenergy of what you have stored in there, but it actually kind of stimulates it, if I can use that word.
Yeah, you can use that word.
Okay.
So something can actually be enhanced by putting it in the violet jars.
Yes. Yes. Now, they have Kirlin photography done with spirulina stored in the violet glass versus the clear glass, and the results are amazing. It had about twice the bioenergy, and on the Kirlin photography, are you familiar with that, Deborah?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So it's what you're looking at is a coronal discharge. And this couple in Russia, it kind of fell into this when they were working with their equipment. They kind of discovered it by accident. But some people would consider a coronal discharge an aura. So the bioenergy or the biolife of the product is enhanced. And you'll notice that with chives on the website. The chives remain green. The smell is still potent when stored in this glass. So these light radiations coming through really do work, and the field of biophotonics is amazing when you start reading it. I read this little book called Biophotons, Source of Light for Energy and Well-Being, written by two ladies in Europe, Yvonne Sangen and Karen Tazelar, and I'm telling you, there's a lot more to know about the science of biophotonics than you can imagine.
There is. I think that I've read a lot of different books that talk about different things that in the realm of things that we can't see but are actually there, such as we have all kinds of energy fields in our bodies and around our bodies that we can't see, but when you look at them through the proper instruments, you can see that they're there. And so things aren't always light you can't see, except you can see, you know, the light, but you can't see the wave of the light and things like that. And it's just... That energetic part is what makes the organic material, the things that we can see, alive.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so when we have some a plant or anything that's alive, a cell, anything that's alive, that that doesn't have that energy, when that energy starts being depleted for various reasons, then it becomes less life-enhancing. And so, for example, when we eat something, let's say a plant, say a tomato right out of the garden, it's got all that life energy in it, that if you were to take a Carolian photograph of a tomato right off the vine, it would just be beaming, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
And as that tomato is away from its life source plant, then it starts getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And so by the time you get a tomato that's in the supermarket, that's been sitting in storage, picked green and then gassed to be red, there's practically no life left in it at all.
Right.
And our bodies need to have those, that life force as well as the physical matter of the food.
Exactly, and a lot of the light coming in to the tomato, that's what gives it the energy, the biophotons.
That's right. And so most of the food that we eat, when we think of the food that we're eating, most of it has very little life energy in it because it's been sitting around for so long, or it's canned or processed or whatever. All those things make it lose the life energy. And also, with our water, it's the same thing. And we just need to have that life energy in order for us to be healthy. When I research about things that are toxic, they're looking at how can I explain this? What are the things that we can see in terms of toxicness? But I have not seen very many studies which talk about symptoms of not having life force. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying. I hope the listeners do.
I kind of do. I do. In this book I was reading, it talks about people that are ill or have dis-ease. If you, for example, did a Carolyn photography on them, they would have maybe more light coming out of one side of their body because they are not coherent. And so, inversely, people that are very well, believe it or not, their cells do not emit a lot of light. So when the cells are emitting a lot of light, that's kind of a warning signal that they are not coherent. Because if they're well, it keeps the light inside of them because everything's functioning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that makes sense to me.
I really suggest...
We'll be right back and we can talk about this some more.
Okay.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Maria Jindra, and she's the founder of Vita Salva Glassworks, and that's violetglassjars.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Food Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Maria Jindra. She's co-founder of Vita Salva Glassworks, and their website is violetglassjars.com. Maria, on the same page as the experiments about the tomatoes and the chives on your website, it talks about how sunlight helps plants grow, but what happens after they're continued to be exposed to the sun after reaching maturity. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Of course, we all know that plants need photosynthesis to grow and light, and that's what gives them their energy. But the minute they're harvested, it's just like a human being. They die. There's no more light degradation begins to do just the opposite of what it did when they were growing. So in order to capture their bioenergy, you want to quickly store them. May it be a freezer, or if you're going to bottle it, it should be in violet glass because the visible light spectrum, like the colors in a rainbow, that is helpful when the plant's growing, but injurious when it has been harvested because it starts to break it down again.
Yes.
Just like if you pick a tomato and you put it on a ledge outside, it's going to start to shrink and decompose. So you got to get it out of the visible light. So visible light helps initially during the growth process, but after harvest, you want to keep visible light, the reds, the blues, the greens, the yellows, off of your produce or your product. So so that you can try to maintain the biolife that it used when it was growing.
So there's a sentence here that says that mirror and violet glass works like a natural filter that only lets the sunlight that protects and improves the quality of premium and sensitive substances through. And that was interesting to me that some of the spectrum would make it decay and other parts of the spectrum would improve it.
Right, and they've done decades of research on this. One of the researchers was Fritz Albert Popp. He did a lot of research with this and tried different colors and found that violet light, which most mimics the human nervous system, protected, it kind of shielded it. But the reds, the blues, the greens, the yellows, the oranges, was more damaging to it. He also found that light we cannot see with the human eye, the far infrared and a very narrow band of UVA, actually helps protect it as well. So there's been a lot of research on this, and it's true research.
It's fascinating. It's just so fascinating to me. I think that nature it's incredibly interesting to me. And when I read books about things like the energy fields of the body and light and all of these things, it's so beyond what we normally talk about in our culture, which is very physical oriented. But then there's these other levels, and there's so much of life, so much of what makes us alive is happening on those other levels and need to be nourished just like taking vitamins, you know?
Exactly. Like they say, you know, you shouldn't wear sunglasses all the time because you need some of those biophotons from the sun coming in. Same on your skin. You know, you can use sunscreen, but it is somewhat toxic, correct?
Right.
So
I actually don't use sunglasses at all, and I don't wear sunscreen at all. I feel like I need to go out, and I do go out, I have several wide-brimmed hats. My great aunt, who was very beautiful, she was a model when she was young. She lived in Santa Barbara, California. It was very sunny. She always wore a wide-brimmed hat. She did not go out without it, and it was like so frequently she wore it that it's like when I see a picture of her in my mind, what I see is her in her wide-brimmed hat.
Exactly.
And that's what people did before sunscreen. We had parasols and wide-brimmed hats. Nobody used sunscreen. Nobody wore sunglasses.
Exactly. And I try to get at least 30 minutes of direct sunlight a day. And
yeah,
like you, I do not use suntan lotion, but I don't stay out in the sun all day either.
Well, I think that that's the key, is that people, I remember when I was younger and I lived in California, it was a big deal to go lie out in the sun and get this tan. And, you know, we were all waiting for the first day we could go lie out in the sun, and everybody would burn, and we'd all wear sunscreen, and you know, this tan was a big deal. And I am no longer interested in how tan I get or don't get. I'm a little tan now because I go out in mid-afternoon and I go for a little walk for 15 minutes. And so I get sun on my arms and on my face, I get all those benefits of the sun. But it's not about getting the darkest tan I can get. You know, it's about getting the nutrients from the sun.
Exactly, exactly. Especially the D3, right? Especially gals our age. And I'm going to be 60 this year, too. And happy belated birthday.
Thank you. You know, I have to say, I don't feel 60. I just don't feel 60. I'm like, and I don't look 60. People, when I tell them I'm 60, they go, no, you don't look 60 at all. They tell me that I look like I'm 47 or something like that. But I just don't feel it. It's just, you know, a number that relates to the age of my body.
Exactly. And I feel the same way. I feel like I'm about 26 years old on the inside, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm still just as interested in things, and I want to go out and do things, and I don't feel like an old lady.
Exactly. Well, that's because you're toxic free.
That is. I think it has a lot to do with it. And especially, I'll just throw in a little plug for being toxic free, is that a lot of skincare products have toxic chemicals in it that give you wrinkles. And I don't use any of them, and I don't have wrinkles.
Wow. Lucky you. Well, I live here in Colorado at a higher altitude, so my 30 minutes a day, you know, in the direct sun is kind of, it's been working on me. But I, like you, I'm wearing the wide brim hat now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we don't want any more wrinkles.
No. There's just no, it's like all these sun products are all what I call consumer products. There's so many things that are on the market, a lot, and a lot of toxic things that are on the market, that we don't even need at all for survival, that we don't even need, you know, to be happy. It's just something that has been made up by industrial consumerism in order for companies to make more money.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So before I ask you another question, we need to go to break, so I'll just not interrupt you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Maria Jindra. She's the co-founder of Vita Salva Glassworks. And when we come back, we're going to talk about all her beautiful glassware. You can go see it at violetglassjars.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Maria Jindra. She's co-founder of Vita Salva Glassworks, where they sell violet glass, and their website is violetglassjars.com. So, Maria, let's go on a little tour of the different types of glassware you have.
Okay. Well, the uses for this glass, here's some ideas. You can store essential oils in it, flower essences, sun remedies, massage oils, herbs, royal jelly, olive oils, organic foods, fine cosmetics, wine, or for charging and enhancing your drinking water. And I don't like drinking out of plastic bottles. I do not do that.
I don't either.
You'll see on the website that we have square oil bottles, but I really like to use those, especially for the ladies, for the water bottle, the 500 milliliter square oil bottle. I use that for water, but we're supposed to all be drinking a liter and a half to 2 liters a day. So if you're really a water drinker, which we all should be, the 1 liter water bottle is the best. Because then you know exactly how much water you're drinking, and it kind of pushes you to drink a little bit more water.
It does. You know, I have a bottle of water sitting on my desk every day. I sit at my desk and work all day long, and I think a lot of people do. And just having that bottle of water there starting out in the morning, I actually do this thing that, you know, I don't even know. I'm looking at your bottle and this bottle. I don't think it's a liter. But what I do is it has the one that I drink all the time has an open top that you big enough to put ice cubes in it.
Yeah.
And so I start out in the morning with being here in Florida. I start out in the morning with filling the bottle with water and other things that I put in it. And with ice cubes. And then as the ice cubes melt, I just keep adding more ice cubes all day long so that there's always this nice, cold, refreshing, nutritive drink sitting on my desk. And so I get nutrition, I get water, and it's there all day long.
Absolutely. Did you try charging up some water in your maroon glass?
I did, and I could feel the difference.
You can't you?
I can. Yeah. It's just like, it just energetically, when you have tap water, the tap water is so dead. And you put it through a water filter, and what a water filter does is it removes the toxic substances. But it doesn't particularly restore the life force of water. And I've talked about this before on other shows, but the most alive water I ever drank in my life was out of a spring in Mount Shasta, California. And there's this spring that it's actually a city park where people go and they fill up their bottles with this exceptional, exceptional water. And when I drank that, it was just like, tears came to my eyes because it was like, this is what water should be. And I could tell the difference. It just felt different in my body. And drinking the water out of the violet glass bottle feels different too. It's more alive. It's got that charge in it.
Yes, it does. Are you familiar with Dr. Masaru Emoto and his work?
Yes. Yes.
That is fascinating. And there's a really neat YouTube. It's only about 3 minutes long, and it's entitled Water, Consciousness, and Intent. And if people would view that, they would really understand that intention and our thoughts, words, our mm-hmm. actions, it's all energy. And I did not know that until a couple of years ago, and it came to me in a flash, and I ran in and told my husband, I said, I've just realized that everything is energy.
Yes, so, everything is energy. So I know, that's not something that most people know.
Yeah, so getting a maroon glass, putting your own personalized intentions into it, or a prayer, and when you drink the water after it's charged for about an hour in the sun, is amazing. It's palpable. You can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I put an intention in once for a lot of love, and I totally forgot that I had put that intention in because I was charging a lot of different bottles. But when I drank from it, tears were flowing from my eyes. I felt so much love, and I thought, wow, this really does work, you know? So,
it really does. It really does.
So, and I love Dr. Masaru Emoto. I remember right after the Japanese tsunami, he came on YouTube and he said, please, everyone, pray now for the water because water does have memory.
Yes, it does. That's been established.
I want to go to Mount Shasta and do what you did. That sounds neat.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, this water is so beloved in California that people actually offered to bring me back water from Mount Shasta. They wanted me to have it when I would tell them my story. They would say, oh, I could bring you water from Mount Shasta.
Right.
And when people would go to Mount Shasta for the weekend or whatever, they would ask if I wanted them to bring water back to me. And you know, I mean, if we look back in history, the most sacred thing in the past was the spring.
Exactly.
With the water. Yeah.
Exactly. Moving water, vortexes of water, eddies of water. That's the healthiest water.
Yes.
Not water going through pipes and treatment right. plants and then fluoridated.
Especially not fluoridated.
Absolutely.
So, tell us about your bottle, different bottles and jars.
Okay, so we have the cosmetic jars, and you can put in lotions, cosmetics. We have bottles for wine. We have bottles for water. We have bottles for oil. I even store my rice in them, and I kind of keep them on the kitchen counter so that some of the ambient light coming through the jar will kind of enhance it. But we have a beautiful apothecary set, like the old-time apothecary jars that the pharmacist
had. I love those. Those are so beautiful.
Oh, they are. And they've got the little glass sliding tea lid. So those make a wonderful canister set or to store coffee in if you want to keep your coffee really fresh tasting. We
and
like
especially,
to use,
especially people who don't want any plastic in their containers, these have the ground glass lids. So they fit it very nicely, but there's no metal and there's no plastic. It's just all glass.
That's right. It's about as toxic-free as you can get.
It is about as toxic-free as you can get, yes.
Absolutely.
And it's not only toxic-free, it's actually life-enhancing, which goes beyond toxic-free. It's not just, for these products, it's not just an absence of harmful chemicals. It goes beyond to have beneficial effects.
That's right. It's enhanced, and it's energized, and it's well-protected.
So wonderful.
Absolutely.
So then you have all these little lids and things, and droppers and different
right,
things.
Right, right. If someone is interested in storing their essential oils, we have pump sprayers. We have the droppers. We have just pour caps. Now, the caps are not glass. They are plastic with a polyethylene fitting at the top, but that keeps in the freshness of it. So it's, and you don't have to over-tighten these lids either. And You can wash the glass in a dishwasher or with warm soapy water, but you don't want to wash the lids. You'll just wipe them out with a little alcohol pad or something. But we do get a lot of orders for essential oils, and our clients love the glass, and they don't get it etched. They usually have their own sticker that they put on there.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I've been out at other places where I've seen people with selling their products. I've had a skin issue for some years, and I picked up some salve that was kept in a maroon glass. And just knowing that it was kept in the maroon glass, I was already excited. And the salve really helped my skin issues.
Yes, actually, the way I found you was one of my readers has now taken it upon himself to find the best products, the best toxic-free products he can possibly find. He now has a list, I found out this morning, of 257 websites that he wants to share with me so that I can share them with other people. And yours was one of them, but he found it from a company that was using it for their products.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah, yeah. So, and he was very happy with their products, too. So.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, it works.
Yeah.
People have to just try it to believe it, you know?
Yes, yes. Yes, I just love it. Well, we only have about a minute left. Any final words?
Yes, I would strongly urge people to get familiar with biophotonic science with this book that I mentioned, because it really will get you excited. And also to be familiar with Dr. Masuru Yamamoto and thinking about drinking a lot more water, and try their water in this bottle. It really is amazing. It starts getting you thinking about changing your health, your life, the way you speak to people, the way you think of people. And I got to thank you, Deborah. By contacting me and inviting me onto your show, you really charged me up.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I really dove into further study of the science of biophotonics, and I am charged up. I really realize now that there's a lot more that many of us don't know in the unseen world, you know, especially the light spectrum and what it does for us and all life on the planet.
And wait, we have to go. There's the music, so we have to go.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dayas. Be well.